Through 25 seasons, 4,561 episodes, I believe The Oprah Winfrey Show was one of the greatest classrooms in the world.
I really never thought of it that way.
The aha moments, the breakthroughs, the connections, the occasional ugly cry.
I miss him so terribly. I miss him every single minute.
The LOLs, the moments that mattered. The eye-opening life lessons.
Never allow them to take you somewhere else.
I'm bringing them back. It's time to open the vault. I've personally chosen these classic episodes to share with you again.
Every single person you ever will meet shares that common desire. They want to know, do you see me? Do you hear me? Does what I say mean anything to you?
You are listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast.
It was one of the most heartbreaking stories we have ever shared, I believe, on our show. 11 years ago, we saw the chilling headlines about a little girl from Wisconsin. We never knew her name. She was only known as the girl in the cage. The date was April 3rd, 2000. The show was called Tortured Children, and I could not believe what I was hearing. A little seven-year-old forced to live in a cage in her basement.
So is this the cage this size?
I think it was a little smaller, actually.
It's unimaginable because, as everybody knows, I have dogs, and I had a cage this size when I first had little puppies, and I thought, too small for the puppy.
It happened in the quiet town of Brilliant, Wisconsin. Police discovered that Michael and Angeline Rogers had been brutally beating and starving their four children for years. Authorities found out after the Rogers struck their 9 and 11-year-old sons with wooden rods and kicked them out of the house. The older boy walked barefoot and coatless in 30-degree weather to the police station and told his horrifying secret. Their 7-year-old sister was being kept in a small wire dog cage in the family's dark and freezing basement. She was beaten with wooden clubs and was barely fed. The boy said when his sister cried, his mother called the girl a little pig and sprayed her with freezing water from a hose. The boy also recalled finding his sister stuffed in a plastic container under a basement shelf, gasping for breath. She was covered in her own feces. The police rushed to the Rogers home and rescued the girl in the cage.
So the parents were charged with child abuse and sentenced to 1 year in jail. It has been 11 years since we did that show, and we wanted to find out what happened to that little girl. Did she even survive? And if so, what kind of life would she have, having lived in the cage all that time? Well, her name is Chelsea, and she's now 21 years old, and she's here today. Welcome, Chelsea. So I was just watching you watch that tape. Have you seen that?
I have seen bits and pieces of it, but not that whole clip.
Mm-hmm. What's it like for you watching that?
It's sad. I can't even explain it. It's just incredibly sad that something like that could happen.
Mm-hmm. And happened to you. When you watch it, do you think of that as happening to somebody else, or do you think that happened to me?
It still feels like it happened to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that time?
It's so hard to talk about because my memories are so fragmented, and we didn't have mirrors or anything, so I didn't know my age, I didn't know what I looked like. I have memories that people told me, that people wrote about, so it's hard to know what really is in my memory.
Do you remember being physically in the cage?
Yes.
And do you remember how long you were in that cage? Is that where you lived?
I was in there long enough to have to go to the bathroom, to be hungry, to want to get out and stretch my legs.
Do you remember why your mother would put you in the cage? Or was it your mother, your father, both?
Both.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they did.
Did you think that that was normal?
At the time, I was young. It was my family, loyalty. I didn't know what was right, what was wrong. But I do remember in first grade, I had a teacher who just had a baby girl, and she had pictures on her desk, and this little girl had a bow in her hair, and she had a little dress on, and I would always tell my teacher that I wanted to be just like that girl in the pictures.
In the first grade, you would say that. What did the picture look like? And the reason why I'm asking this question is because oftentimes people cannot be psychics, obviously. We're not psychics. Yeah. But I want people to know what the signs look like. Like recently we had a set of twins who were here who were being molested for years by their brothers and their father. And one of the neighbors said that the children would come to her house and they would be hungry and they would see that the house was always a mess and they would see signs, but they didn't know that those signs meant molestation. So the reason I'm asking is because the signs are always there. People can't be psychic, but when you see that something is not right, what would it look like in your family?
They did have reportings. Police were notified as I grew up. I believe it was two different times. They came over and did an investigation, and they didn't find anything. Mm-hmm. Nothing was reported.
You mean from the house that they found?
Right.
When they came. At the time that the police came to your house, had you been living in the cage then?
Yes.
You had been living in the cage. Did you see the police when they came to your house?
All I remember was a flashlight, mm-hmm. a bright light coming towards me, and I didn't know what it was.
Did you ever think to tell somebody that this was going on at your house?
No, it was normal to me. I thought every child went home and did that. Mm-hmm.
So what was happening to the rest of your family?
Same, they all got abused as well, but they, you know, had freedoms. They, mm-hmm. you know, got fed properly at a table, and I was just downstairs. Mm-hmm.
You were downstairs separated from them? What would the brothers say or do? Would they try to get you out of the cage? Would they make fun of you in the cage? What?
No, I mean, I don't remember any of them taunting me. I was locked in a closet once, and the door was locked. One of my brothers came, and he let me out, and we stole candy. Mm-hmm. And we tried to hide the wrappers, and my biological mother, she found them, and that's how everything, you know, took off from there.
What do you mean, took off from there?
She was furious that I was let out and that we got into the candy drawer. So I was sent downstairs to my cage. My two brothers were locked outside with no coats, no shoes, winter. And, you know, I was downstairs. I didn't know what was going on. Mm-hmm.
So do you think you blocked a lot of those memories from that time? Because you wanted to block the memories from that time. Do you remember what you were thinking or feeling? Are you in therapy now?
Not currently, no.
Have you been through therapy?
Yes, off and on.
Off and on. Do you remember what you were thinking and feeling as a little girl in that cage? Have you dared go back to those memories?
No, I absolutely have not. It's a really painful place for me to be. And I really strive to go forward in my life and mm-hmm. to be happy and not be weighed down by such, mm-hmm. you know, such things.
Yeah. Do you think that you will ever be able to completely move forward until you heal the wounds of the past and can look at it? Because the truth of the matter is you've already survived it. You've survived the worst. So looking at it isn't nearly as horrible as having to live through it,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So you're obviously a natural born survivor that you've come out of that and you can put two sentences together, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah. So Chelsea was 7 when she was rescued by the police. Who raised you after that?
I jumped around foster home to foster home until I was adopted and then placed back into foster care.
Really? So what was that life like?
Just as bad, except emotionally abusive, not mm-hmm. physically. It was just as scarring.
Mm-hmm. A scarring?
Scarring as in I'm going to have to deal with that the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to try and, you know, work past it.
So over the past year, Chelsea has been trying to make sense of what happened to her. First, she Googled her own story to learn more. Then she talked to local reporters who covered the story. And last week, Chelsea went back to the house where she had been kept in the cage.
This doesn't even look like the same house that I grew up in. Is this our yard? Because I didn't think we had a yard either. I didn't get to play in it. I was just kept inside. Crazy. I remember these staircases. I recognize the wood.
Oh my goodness.
Right here. Yeah, I was made to stand right facing this wall. I had duct tape wrapped around my face, and my hands were tied behind my back, and my feet were duct taped together, so I couldn't move, I couldn't talk. I stood there what felt like all day. Oh my goodness, I remember this. Holy cow. Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. That's horrible. This is terrible. I remember this so much. And there's the shelf and the window. Oh my goodness, I would be right here. I was on the floor and I would climb those and I'd climb to the window and I'd sit and I'd look outside. Oh my goodness, this is horrible. This is so real. You know, now being down here, remember, you know, being that little girl again and the light. Oh my goodness. Oh, this is terrible. I remember right here, a metal cage that I lived in, slept in, and that's what I was put in. I had a tan blanket that I would curl up with, but being down here, it's freezing. You know, I doubt, you know, that would keep me warm. I would scream for them to let me out to go to the bathroom, and they wouldn't let me out, and you know, this is the only place I could go, you know, and then I'd get in trouble for going to the bathroom. After all of the horrible things they have done, there is no way I can make sense of it. I'm gonna be trying to make sense of it for the rest of my life.
And you were sharing that you really haven't worked on therapy, and I was saying to Chelsea that you owe it to yourself and your child. She has a son who's now a year and a half years old named James. You owe it to yourself and your child to do the work, to heal yourself from that. Because those of us who are watching can't even imagine how you're speaking in complete sentences. And what I don't want is for the horror of that to be revisited through your raising of your child. You need to get some help. You know, you seem really perfectly okay now. But you can't be. You got to try to fix that. What was that experience like for you, going back into the basement?
Walking down those stairs was incredible. I never really could connect with my past on an emotional level. You know, I was always just telling this story that I rehearsed for years now. And walking down there, I felt like that little girl again. I felt the fear, and I saw the walls, and it was just incredible.
But you don't have to be afraid anymore, because now you're an adult. You can take care of yourself. Right. Then you couldn't. As we said earlier, your parents went to jail for 1 year, which just seems ridiculous that your parents would get 1 year. Seems ridiculous to all of us. What does that make you feel?
Same for me. I wish, you know, they had 10 years of probation after their 1 year in jail. And I think they should have, you know, spent that 10 years suffering, as I spent my 7 years suffering.
At least.
At least.
At least.
Right.
Are they your biological parents?
Biological, yes.
So what's your relationship like with them?
There is none. Mm-hmm. I had a little bit of communication with my biological father for about 6 months when I was pregnant with my son. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I knew nothing about my past. I needed to know firsthand what, you know, he knew.
Did you ever ask him or her why they treated you that way?
I've never really cared for a response. You know, I don't know what they say, if it's true or if it's sincere.
Where's your mother now, or the woman who birthed you? Where is she?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Never searched her out.
Never searched her out. So You have four brothers, and you were all split up when the authorities came into the house and found you in the cage. Actually, it was your brother who walked barefoot in the cold to the police to report what was going on. Do you have a relationship with them?
I have a relationship with two of my brothers out of four. The two of them have just moved on with their life. They've accepted where they are, and that's just how it is. And the relationship I have with my other two brothers is good. We mm-hmm. talk, you know, through Facebook, we phone calls, mm-hmm. we see each other every couple months. Mm-hmm. I remember the day I was rescued pretty well. I remember the flashlight being really bright. I had my tan blanket and I pulled it up over me and was hiding behind it. I didn't know whether I should trust them, if I should be loyal to my biological parents or to the police. The next thing I remember is standing next to the police car eating a cheeseburger, my first cheeseburger, so.
When you think about it too long, you second guess yourself and, you know, did this really happen?
Now I'm just trying to remember it all again because I wasn't a bad person. It's just so hard to believe.
Hard to believe that you weren't a bad person?
That I was in that situation.
That you were in that situation. Because I'm sure as a little girl, what you tell yourself is, I must be really bad to mm-hmm. be down here. Right. So joining us from the Brilliant Wisconsin Police Station is Police Chief Daniel Alloy. He was the officer who rescued Chelsea as a child. They reconnected about a year ago. And he says that Chelsea's now like a daughter to him and his wife. Walk us through that day, Chief. What happened?
Well, it was a complete surprise. We were told by Chelsea's brother what was going on and immediately responded over there.
Because her brother had walked to the police station. Is that true? He'd walked barefoot or walked in the cold?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. He is her hero. Mm-hmm. We went to the residence. I got there first because our other officer stayed with Chelsea's brother, got some more information.
What did Chelsea's brother tell you, if I may interrupt? What did he tell you was going on?
Just like she had earlier explained, that the two boys were put outside. We were concerned about where the other brother was. When I did get there, he was back in the house. I met with the two parents in the driveway. I told them why I was there, and I asked them if, in fact, there was a child in a cage in the basement. And they said not that they knew of. Mm. And I said, well, you know I'm going to check. Do I have your permission? And they said, go ahead. So I entered the house and looked around a little bit, and I did find her.
Was she in the cage when you found her?
Yes, she was. I really didn't believe that anyone would keep their child in a cage. So I walked over when I did find the room that she was in and actually picked the cage up to see if there was enough weight to indicate there might be something in it. And it was heavy enough.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause what, at first you couldn't see her? Was she wrapped in what?
No, it was pitch black in the basement. After I passed the laundry room, that was the only light that was on in the basement. Mm-hmm. I found that wooden door leading to the back room. It didn't have a doorknob on it, so I had to grab the side of the door and pull it open.
So you just saw the cage there on the concrete floor in the dark and couldn't decipher at the time whether there was a person in the cage, because she was obviously, you know, at 7 years old, would have to be all curled up in the cage. So you picked up the cage, realized that it's heavy enough to have a person in it. And then what did you say, Chief?
I couldn't say anything. When I realized she was in there, she peeked out from underneath the blanket, and I had an immediate need to get her out of there and get her out of that situation.
Did you pick her up inside the cage? Did you carry the cage out or let her out of the cage?
I opened the cage, she crawled out to me, and I picked her up and went upstairs. Mm-hmm.
So when you hear, I mean, at the time, the judge who tried Chelsea's parents claimed that he gave such a light sentence because they were like Humpty Dumpty. They had a great fall, but he hoped that they could be put back together again. Those were his words. And as the person who was first on the scene, who witnessed what was going on in that house, who talked to her brother, who had walked in the cold for miles to report what was going on in their home, what did you think, after all the work that you all put into this case, what did you think about a year's sentence?
It was like getting punched in the stomach.
Yeah, I imagine.
We had to be careful not to overreact in the courtroom.
Yeah.
The judge made it clear he would ask us to leave if there was any disgruntled indications being made. So we had to be very careful how we responded. You have to respect the court system and how it works. It was just, it was a total shock to us.
It doesn't make any sense. So we asked Judge Stephen Weinke if he had anything to say about his decision today, and he declined to comment. But he told us that he wishes Chelsea well. So, Chief Alloy, you've seen many cases of, obviously, over the years of child abuse, and you say you're inspired by Chelsea. Tell us why.
Well, we talked about Chelsea a little bit when we were preparing for the program, and one of the fellas mentioned that she had done quite a turnaround, and I have not seen that. She came out of that cage. She was the smartest, most beautiful little girl, and she didn't do a turnaround. She put her nose straight forward, and she hasn't deviated from that path to this day.
That's fantastic. Wow. Wonderful. So thank you so much, Chief. We stopped by Chelsea's apartment last week to see what her life is like today.
Good job, good job. So I am my little boy, James, who's a year and a half. June 25th was his birthday. Best day of my life. Where do you want me to go?
Chelsea says her sole purpose in life is giving her son the childhood she never had.
Oh. Yum. I'd go to sleep every night saying that I would never do what my parents did to me. I want him to grow up not having to worry about somebody not being there for him. And he's got plenty of love.
I know you came here with a message, and that message is?
That whenever somebody comes out of a situation like that, they have a choice. They have a choice to be a victim and throw their entire life away. Or they can stand up, move forward, and make a life and learn from their experiences. And, you know, if you do that, you can lead an absolute great life.
What do you think you learned? What was this here to teach you?
I feel it is making me into a great mother. It showed me how to parent the correct way. Mm-hmm. You know, because I got to see the side that wasn't good. Now I can just be great for him.
Where did you learn how to be such a good mother since you had no role models?
Myself, my own instincts, and I believe it solely came from myself.
Well, thank you for being here. We wish you well and wellness with your son, too.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to The Oprah Winfrey Show, the podcast. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join me next week for another Oprah Show, the podcast. And I thank you for listening.